for Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 30th of April. A passionate defense of Ricky Rubio. Is he right? We'll look at that. Plus, if time permits, a quick scan of Dante Exum. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, lots of geeky numbers, and that's what we're going to do today. I got an email that is a passionate defense of Ricky Rubio, like only Ricky Rubio fans can, and we're going to walk through it and see whether or not he's accurate. Today's show is available for you, as all Locked On Jazz podcasts are, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. There is no off-season for the true fan. Available for you on Himalaya, the new app. Check it out. Great curated playlist in a crowded world of podcasting. Himalaya brings you nice clarity, great features. Also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. Glad to have you. Glad to have you in the off season. And glad to still be giving you this, hopefully some insight on the Jazz. So no player brings reaction out like Ricky Rubio. This was true in Minnesota. This is true, here as well. Oh, quick thoughts on last night, by the way. Philadelphia really, that was a great win, frankly. Last night, Tobias, who I gave my love to yesterday on 1280 The Zone, had 9 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, was just 3 of 12 though. Jimmy Butler kind of was the catalyst last night. Embiid was pretty silent. Interesting just to watch them kind of navigate who does what every night. Bench minutes are getting fewer and fewer as these playoffs go on. And neither team made shots last night, as the 76ers won it 94-89. And defensive ratings were both below 100 last night in that game. So defenses in the Eastern Conference matchup began to stick in. The opposite took place in the first game between Denver and Portland last night, where Denver won it 121-113. Jokic is just awesome. You know what? Jokic is Larry Bird. Jokic is Larry Bird, just as a big man. He's just tremendous. Now, their offensive rating last night was a 123. I don't think either of these teams are going to be able to stop either in the series. Dame had 39, and I think will continue to do so. Murray and Jokic are not great defending the pick and roll. Cantor has no chance against Jokic, nor does Myers Leonard, nor does Zach Collins. They went to Mo Harkless. Mo Harkless and Aminu, if they have to dribble, it's a disaster. I actually think that series is going to stay offensive. It's a hard one to watch just because you feel like we would change. I don't know that we're better than either of those teams, and it's actually somewhat silly to sit here and say we are, since they both had better regular season records than us. And we didn't have, you know, massive injuries, and frankly, Denver probably had more injuries than we did this year. But with that set, and Portland with Jokic going out might have also. So probably, you know, a little bit of a homerish take. The game just would be so dramatically different, right? The game would be so dramatically different because of Gobert and defense than the way these two teams are playing. I've always thought we'd have a hard time Portland in a playoff series. They'd spread the floor. They'd bring Nurkic, or in this case, Cantor up and have Gobert. Why? But on the other end, we would be playing Cantor off the floor with our pick and roll offensive game in a manner that would cause them all sorts of problems, the same way they're cutting and making all these plays off Jokic in a different manner than what we would do, but it would cause problems. So hard series to watch, because I think we look at the Jazz and think they're equal to those teams, probably a little homerish. All right, let's get to this is a little different. We don't usually do this. But I loved this email. And this was really just a passionate defense of Ricky Rubio, and felt I was unfair to him yesterday. I disagree, honestly. I thought I was just giving data and information and didn't think I thought I shared the positives and the negatives on Ricky yesterday. But this is not uncommon, and it was really well done. So I thought, and I think that the core issue that he gets to here is the core issue for the Jazz to try to figure out in the offseason. So I think there's some value to going through it. To be fair, you presented fair information today unfairly, said David Pavea. Simply put, you understated the positive and overstated the negatives on Ricky Rubio. On the floor, off the floor, has to be a little distorted by how badly Rudy and Derek, first and third quarter starting rotation is. It's actually positive, but okay. Ricky, as well as the rest of the stars, are weighed by the overall negative of being paired exclusively with the first unit because Derek and Ricky are generally the first casualty of the unit. When Crowder is brought in, it minimizes all the starters' on-off variance. All right. Well, we're going to go through each of these points statistically, and we're going to go on a little journey and proof. As you stated, the Jazz are 1.2 shooting percentage better when Ricky's on the floor. Any further discussion of whether or not his shooting hurts his team needs to be trumped by this number. This means the team is better at offense when he's on the floor. And added in the fact that his numbers are hampered by being on the offensively ineffective Gobert favors combo means his weighted value on offense is still much higher. Okay, well, there are more factors than simply. We're gonna go piece by piece. Three, opponents shoot higher when he's on the floor is fairly indicated, but by how much? You didn't exactly say. A few things on this. One negative stat about Ricky Rubio. The Jazz in general have been less offensively gifted players than the average Western Conference team. The Jazz relative strengths are that their second unit has first unit talent when Derek favors on the floor because Ricky is often mirroring minutes against the elite Western Conference starting units. It's a little unfair to point this out in a vacuum. Ricky is on the floor against the stars of the NBA. The Jazz strength is not in their starting unit per se, making this a little weighted, especially if you put his number next to Neto, who only plays against the weakest part of the other team's roster. Fewer threes on the floor is entirely caused by having our three best point shooters subbed in for him much of the time. Ingles' playmaking ability makes him the de facto backup point guard, leaving his minutes somewhat without Ricky. Furthermore, though he is occasionally on the floor with Korver and Crowder, specifically take the bulk out of the three-point shots. The reason they take more threes has little to do with how he plays. Ricky Rubio's isolation possessions were actually reasonably effective in the playoffs, without him. He was the best player we had against the Rockets. Okay, so that is from David Pavea. I don't want to disparage Ricky in any way, shape, or form. That's not the intention, but this is the crux of the argument, I think, that on Ricky. Ricky's a passionate player, and Ricky is probably one of the first decisions the Jazz have to deal with in the offseason. I think that's really maybe the most truthful comment here, because even before you decide on favors, I think you have to decide on Rubio. Now, that Rubio is our best player against Houston, going in reverse order, I think gets questioned by being 4 of 18 on wide open threes. So you can look at a lot of different things, but the 4 of 18 on wide open threes is a big, big deal. So let's address what he's really really looking at, that I think is the core to this email, that is the core to what the Jazz have to make a decision on in the offseason, is by playing two bigs, by having a Favors and Gobert lineup. How much, which is offensively challenged, how much is that skewing what we think of players? And if you're moving off of that in any way, which is not clear that the Jazz are, if you're moving off of that, how much does it change how your players play? So if Donovan is suddenly playing in an open floor as the point guard, what does it do? If Ricky is playing as an open floor as the point guard, what does it do? So let's delve into that. Let's take a journey together and look at that, because I actually think this is one of the core key issues that the Jazz have to address in this offseason. Today's show is brought to you by, we'll do that coming up. Today's show is brought to you by the Barbecue Pit Stop. 1300 South, 3rd West in Salt Lake City. It is barbecue heaven. And despite the weather for the next 2 days, this is actually what you want. Barbecue heaven is out there for you. They have all the smokers, all the grills, everything you need if you're starting from point blank. If you're already barbecuing, you've got your Traeger, you've got your Yoder, you got your barbecue, but you want to become an expert, then stop by the Barbecue Pit Stop, because what the Barbecue Pit Stop has three things: selection, expertise, and a lifelong barbecue advisor. That's right. They're located in Layton. That's where they'll teach a bunch of classes up by the Hill Air Force Base, Lehigh, and in downtown. Steve, he's got the Pork Star rub that he made him, his very own rub that they sell there for pulled pork. I actually had it the other night on a steak because we didn't have pulled pork, so we used it on the steak. It is your barbecue pit stop. It's the barbecue hobby store, specialty items, specialty advice. Rubs to go forever, sauces you can sample. It's just heaven. Over 300 sauces and rubs. Everyone has a sampler. I mean, the Blue Hog competition sauce that I just got from them the other day, I had on some sausage. My wife was out of town, so I just barbecued. That's how it worked this weekend, my son and I. It was just absolutely fabulous. Barbecue Pit Stop, located in Layton, Lehigh, and downtown, 1300 East and 300 West. 300 South, 1300 South and 300 West. Today's show is also brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. I'm driving the Hyundai Santa Fe right now. It is terrific. My wife, more importantly, went down to Murdoch the other day and just got amazing customer service. She was doing an oil change and the tire change for the year, and they got it done in half the time they said they were going to. Absolutely terrific experience at Murdoch Hyundai, and that's the Hyundai difference. That's the Hyundai no regrets policy. Buy the car from them, have a no regrets experience, then use them as your service station. No regrets. That's what we have found out. We bought the Santa Fe for our son and my wife to use together. And it has been terrific for us. It's got the third row seats. I'm driving the new Santa Fe with all the bells and whistles. It's got the little speedometer up in front of me on my dash, keeps me in my lanes, makes my turns for me. Hyundai's a leader in technology that you wouldn't really have thought of otherwise. Just absolutely incredible driving experience with Hyundai. Check it out, 4646 South State Street, also located up in Logan and in Linden. Jason Kreese helped us out in Murray. When you head by and see him there at the store in Linden, there's Blake is running the place down there, and obviously you can head up to Logan, see Ben and the crew up at Murdoch. It is Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. All right, so let's go walk through what David said about Ricky Rubio and the impact, because it's interesting. So let's start with on the off floor is distorted, he says. So when we first looked at on-off stats yesterday, just to make sure that we review what we said, the offense with Ricky Rubio on the floor is right about average, the exact same of what it is on and off the floor, and the defense is about the same. So his impact didn't seem. But his point is that when Ricky's on the floor with Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors, that it negates what he's able to do because there's no floor spacing, and he's ignoring, quite frankly, the fact that Ricky's a bad shooter also, but it has others. So when Ricky is on the floor with Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors, the offensive rating is a 104, which is not very good. It's a defensive rating is a 99, which is great. So they're about a plus 4.4 if you dig into it. You take Favors off the floor. If you take Favors off the floor, the rating becomes, in 1,000 minutes, so he spends more minutes over the year with just Favors, with just Gobert, the Jazz rating is now suddenly a 109.8 offensively and a 100.9 defensively. So it's an 8.9 positive. Now that's suddenly mammoth. So Rubio's on-off This gets into the whole crux of the favors go bear, should favors come back argument. And maybe we should dig into that this week as well numerically. Okay, so now let's look at Ricky's numbers. When Ricky is on the floor with Gobert and Derek, his numbers are terrible. He's shooting 37% from the field and 29% from three. That is dreadful. That's what he is for the 9 minutes a night with Favors and Gobert. Spread out the floor, he's not great, but he's better. He's 42% from the field and 31.5% from three. Okay, it's better. And we go, as we talked about, in those minutes from plus to plus nine. So there's a legitimate discussion there that when Ricky Rubio is on the floor with Gobert, but not with Favors, he's better, and the team is considerably better. The team goes from plus 4.4 to plus 8.9. When Rubio and Gobert, by the way, are off the floor, and Favors is on the floor by himself, the Jazz are plus 7. Now, this gets into the, we'll have to do this tomorrow before we dig into anything else, probably, what's been brought up here. Now, let's flip it. Ricky didn't play with Derek a great deal, but is this universal that Ricky with out a big on the floor or out two bigs on the floor is better? So when Rubio is on the floor, let's get back to David's argument that he is hampered by being with ineffective Gobert and Favors. And that Ingles gets to play with Favors, he argues, because of the fact that, he doesn't get that better offensive lineup. Well, the first one he had was pretty interesting, that when Favors and Gobert are on the floor together with a stretch four, when Rubio and Gobert are on the floor with a stretch four instead of Favors, they're plus nine. When Rubio and Favors are together with no Gobert, the Jazz become a minus 3.2. Their offense is dreadful, 101.1, and their defense is a 105. So when Gobert's off and it's Rubio and Favors, credit to Quinn Snyder for not running this very much, it's a minus 3.2. Back to David's argument that Rubio becomes a better offensive player. Again, when he's on the floor with both bigs, he's shooting 37% and 29% from three. I don't need to belabor that point. Those numbers speak for themselves. When he's on the floor with a stretch floor for the 4 minutes a night he played with Favors, he shoots 41% and 33% from three. But we're negative. It's interesting. We can dig into a little bit more of this in some of the interesting data that you can get from cleaning the glass. So let's dig in. So back to David's email. On the floor has to be a little distorted by how bad Rudy and Derek first and third quarter rotations are. Ricky are weighted by the overall negative being exclusively with the first unit because Derek and Ricky are generally the first casualties of that unit with Crowder brought in. It minimizes all starters. Now, I'm not sure that's totally true because that group is plus four, but what we saw is that when Ricky plays with just Gobert, we're plus nine. When he plays with just Favors, we're minus three. His numbers do get a little bit better in both circumstances. So let's take another look at this. We have Ricky Rubio and Rudy Gobert on the floor, and we have Derek Favors off the floor. We're now over to cleaning the glass data, and this takes out all blowout time. So this is really interesting. The Jazz offense is in the 88th percentile, and the defense is in the 93rd percentile. This is a pretty strong argument that playing with a stretched floor, the Jazz are a way better basketball team. Rubio, Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Jay Crowder, Rudy Gobert was the Jazz best lineup all year, plus 14. Rubio with Royce O'Neal in there instead of Joe Ingles is a plus 3. Rubio with Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder, Rudy Gobert was a minus 20. That lineup didn't work at all, defensively or offensively. And Rubio with Mitchell, O'Neal, Thabo, and Gobert was a plus 37.2. It really worked. The offense was in the 90th percentile shooting, got a 90th percentile of corner threes, shot 38% of their shots at the rim and 37% of their shots as threes, which is great shot distribution, and made a tremendous amount, made an unusually high rate of above the break threes, by the way. That would be the only thing that's skewing these numbers a little bit. You probably should be, the shot distribution's great. The 39% shooting on above the break threes seems unlikely as a team. Defensively, the half court offense, by the way, was really good, was in the 88th percentile of all half, 90th percentile of all half court offenses with a stretch floor. Let me contrast that for a second and put Favors back on the floor here. This is the crux of the what the Jazz have to decide in the offseason. I mean, Dennis Lindsay was passionate in his love of Derek Favors in the exit press conference. Absolutely, whether Favors and Gobert can play together, we would not have made the playoffs without Derek. It's a false narrative they can't play together. Over the last 3 years, he might have been our most effective player. So, now, the offense with all three of them on the floor together was in the 28th percentile. What might be true, and at the crux of what the Jazz have to decide, is that the Favors-Gobert-Rubio combination isn't good. Their differential was a plus 4. Overall, their defense was in the 98th percentile, the offense was in the 17th. Eliminate Rubio, so maybe you have a more offensive-minded, and you're still in the 13th percentile offensively. You're in the 98th percentile defensively. So Ricky might not be the problem there. But most of those minutes are with Ricky. In fact, let me actually set it so that Ricky's off the floor. When Ricky's off the floor, the Favors-Gobert group drops offensively to the 4th percentile. Pretty interesting. David's got some decent points here. All right, let me continue and wrap this up. We're not going to get to Dante today. We'll do it tomorrow. And we'll look more at this Favors-Gobert issue because this is the key issue for the Jazz. As we continue on Locked On Jazz, make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on Twitter and on Instagram. Those are our network feeds, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Final look is digging a little bit more into, and we kind of know how this is going to turn out, but let's look at it. It's Ricky Rubio with Derek Favors, and that group was, as we said earlier, was not as good. So that is 48th percentile offensively, but not as bad as when it's with Favors and Gobert. It's just bad defensively for whatever reason. It's in the 23rd percentile of all lineups defensively, and the 9th percentile defending the shot. Forces a lot of turnovers. Rubio, Mitchell, Ingles, Crowder, Favors was plus 21, though. Okay? So, Rubio, Mitchell, Ingles, Crowder, Favors, plus 21. Rubio, Korver, Ingles, Crowder, Favors, plus 31. Interesting all of a sudden. Rubio, O'Neal, Ingles, Crowder, Favors, plus 21. So the three most used lineup. Now we're down to only 38 possessions here. With Rubio and Favors and Jay Crowder, and it doesn't matter seemingly who else, Donovan or not, is positive. When it falls apart, is in the next group of lineups. They're just dreadful. And I don't know why. One of them has Alec Burks in it. I don't know. The next 100 possessions are just terrible, and that's what gets us to the minus 4.2. The shot distribution's great. 40% at the rim, 36% from three. The shot accuracy, a little bit to this point, hit an unnaturally low 33% from three. So some of these numbers are just skewed by the variance of the above the break three. The half-court offense was in the 30th percentile. So let's review what David had to say. On the floor, off the floor is a little distorted by how bad Rudy and Derek first and third quarter starting rotation is. Ricky are weighed overall negative by being paired exclusively the first unit because Derek and Ricky are generally the first casual that unit when Crowder is brought in. It minimizes all the starters' variance. There's some legitimacy that on the floor with Gobert, he's plus nine. On the floor with Favors overall, he's minus. The Jazz shoot 1.2 percentage points better when he's on the floor. Any further discussion of whether or not his shooting hurts the team needs to be trumped by this number. I totally disagree with that comment, by the way. What needs to be the next level of discussion here is let's put Gobert on the floor without Derek Favors. And the Jazz positive is plus 9.3 with Ricky Rubio on the floor. It is plus 10.7. So when the Jazz spread the floor and have Rubio on, they're about 1.5 points better than they are just with Gobert on the floor and whomever else was out there. So he's got a little bit of a positive impact, but it's not anything considerable. It's just maybe Gobert with a spread floor. And having a point guard that could really shoot it might really open things up. But in fairness, the effective field goal percentage, because some of the above the break three numbers were so good, with Rubio and Gobert is in the 90th percentile, so it can't get that much better. So to David's point would be, it doesn't matter what Ricky can shoot in that circumstance, which we talked about is better than the terrible numbers he puts when both of them are on the floor together, because the team is so good, and there might be some validity to that. By the way, our turnover numbers just go down also the minute you get Favors and Gobert off the floor together. Opponents shoot higher when he's on the floor. It's fairly indicating, but by how much, you didn't say exactly. A few things. One negative is that the Jazz in general have less offensively gifted. I think when he gets into it here, to me, Ricky's just a bellwether. When he plays one of the elite point guards in the NBA, he's outclassed. And when he plays L.A. Okobo in one of those, he's really pretty good. I think you got to dig into Ricky's numbers a little bit and look at him against elite. But that's, we're not getting an elite point guard in the NBA. We're not getting Dame Lillard. We're not getting Russell. Well, I don't think Russell's elite, but we're not getting one of those guys in all likelihood. So then you have to decide whether you're content with Ricky matching up and being outclassed on certain nights of the year because he's not in the top 5-10 point guards in the NBA, and he's probably somewhere else in that pack. And maybe, you know, you just can't be elite at every position. So, and this final thing was fewer threes on the floor is entirely based on the lineups. And there might be some validity to that because we just showed how when he's on the floor with just Gobert, we're at 37% of our shots are his threes. When Favors and Gobert are on the lineup together, when we play our big two combination, we suddenly only take 31% of our shots as threes. And so there's some validity. So this was a really good, passionate email that has a lot of validity to it. And it hits to the crux of how the Jazz have to evaluate their players this year is going to be very, very difficult because it stems so much based on whether or not how you feel about the Favors-Gobert combination and what it does. And then whether or not those 12 minutes of having Favors-Gobert combination is worthy of having is worth it just to get Favors as center in those minutes. By the way, the final thing, Rubio's isolation possessions were reasonably effective in the playoffs. That is completely inaccurate. They were 0.5 points per. So let's not go too far, David, with your email. I've given you a lot of praise, but I got to bust you on the one that wasn't accurate. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz, a passionate defense of Ricky Rubio that had some real accuracy to it and opens up the quandary of what's so difficult for the Jazz in this upcoming offseason. Tomorrow, I'll try to really delve in to the Favors-Gobert issue and see if we can finally address what that means for the Jazz going forward and the positives and negatives to it through the numbers as we continue on Locked On Jazz and our offseason that just doesn't quit. Go grab Locked On NBA today. Should be a good one. Sam Amick had the number one story.